Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to Hard Hits. This is the one and only Derek Felix, the podcast assistant of Hard Hits here. And I'm actually coming to you live from Plaid and Fitness right now. I'm at the gym doing a little bit of working out, just trying to get some legs going as I get ready for an interview tomorrow, a job interview. But I did want to do this show, and this is a podcast edition. So that's the way it's going to be for now. Podcast, obviously, we'll just discuss a few things that are happening with the sports world and continue to do my workout in between. So I hope everybody is doing well. Hope everybody having a great summer out there. It is a balmy July evening here in the New York City area. Staten Island represented, Shaolin, NYC represented. Here to the fullest, never the dullest. Flex here to stay like every single day. And obviously the big topic is Home Run Derby. Home Run Derby was tonight. And it's been a really incredible baseball season so far, especially for Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge, of course, the judge and jury. Last year didn't go so well for him when he came up with the Yanks at 171. This year, looks like a different ball player. He's a different man. Just unbelievable. A rookie record, Yankee rookie record, 30 home runs. And just doing a tremendous job. Tremendous job overall. So, and tonight was the Home Run Derby. Everybody was looking forward to it. It was a great class of eight players there. You had some real heavyweights. Even Mike Moustakas in the Royals, he took on Miguel Sano, and Sano just edged him. But Moustakas could not deny him. You had Cody Bellinger just getting through and past the first round by getting that extra ball to beat out Charlie Blackman, the Colorado Rockies all-star, who's a terrific outfielder as well. It was a terrific forecast, and the Yankees, of course, were loaded with two guys, Aaron Judge with the Major League leading 30 home runs, and the Sanchez, Gary Sanchez, the Sanchino, with a pretty good first half, despite the fact that he missed the first month of the season, and he was able to actually eliminate the hometown guy, the two-time champ, Fedley champ, Giancarlo Stanton out in Miami. And, you know, obviously, the Marlins fans, they were going for their guy. And that was a great show in itself because you definitely had an interesting dynamic happening. You had Sanchez hitting a bunch of home runs. And then you had Stanton looking to match him, and he nearly did. He nearly pulled it off. So it was really an unbelievable first round between Sanchez and Stanton. Stanton got down 17-4, took his time out, and then he just started hitting him. And before you knew it, he was right there, and the crowd was right with him. They thought he was going to pull it off. I thought he pulled it off. I think everybody thought he was going to pull it off. He was going to make one of the great comebacks. But it didn't happen quite the way we thought it was going to happen. And so Sanchez actually eliminated Giancarlo Stanton in the first round. And just an unbelievable matchup, 17-16, and terrific. He just ran a little out of gas to Giancarlo. And Sanchez eliminated him. You know, my final was Cody Bellinger against Stanton. I thought that was going to be the matchup. I really like Cody's uppercut swing. Cody did very well. He got to hit off his dad, a former ball player for the Yankees, utility guy, Clay Bellinger. His dad and son, pitching to his son right there. That was pretty cool, certainly. But when they came to the second round, and Sano edged Moustakas as well, you had your semifinals, and you had a couple of real good matchups. But the judge was too much for Bellinger, who was a little bit out of gas. Bellinger did good, though. He did get the 12-hole buzz. But the judge, he's just unbelievable. He had four of them. Four home runs over 500 feet. It really puts into perspective this guy's power. And it's really not a surprise because he has dynamic power. He's 6'7", he's 280. He uses all fields, too. So when you use all fields the way he does, he can hit them anywhere, to right, to center, to left. He had a couple of mammoth shots. He had the fans cheering at him, too, at the end, even though they were rooting for their guys. You know, the hardest part, I think, for him was overcoming Justin Bour, the first base slugger for the Marlins. And that was his first round matchup. And Bour put on an absolute show. He put on a show. I mean, he hit 22 home runs. 22. And we were all wondering, and Justin's the last judge, of course, being with the eighth, of course, the eighth guy. He's the last guy to go on the four matchups. So we're all wondering, we're Yankee fans, a lot of Yankee fans on Twitter are like, and some of them saying Judge in trouble. I wasn't necessarily thinking, I was just wondering, could he do it? Could he do it? I think he took a timeout when he had maybe 8 or 9, and then he just went on an absolute tear. And it was just unbelievable to watch. What a display he put on. He got the extra 30-second bonus. And he really did get 24. He hit one that hit the roof. And for some stupid reason, they didn't count it, the one that hit the roof. And it had to be 500 feet. It was like watching Strawberry in that opening day game for the Mets back in 87 or 88 against the Expos. Unbelievable. So they actually had throw one more pitch to him. He hit it out. He got to 23. But to me, it was really 24. So Aaron Judge did his thing. And he wins the Home Run Derby. But really, it was about that semifinal matchup. He got through Bellinger, 13-12. Probably could have a few more. And you also had him against Miguel Sano. Sano did a great job getting there. But you could tell he was a little out of steam. The twin slugger was a little out of steam at the end. He did get to 10. He made a good push because he was at 4 for the longest time. And 10, and even in the extra, he had the 30-second bonus, but he couldn't. He needed to get at least 2 or 3, but he couldn't. And Judge, I mean, in the first, like, first 45 seconds to 50 seconds, he hit 6 home runs. He already was halfway there. He is just amazing. And he tore it all and he tied it. And a little bit of fireworks by the judge going to dead center to finish it off 11-10. And Aaron Judge is your home run champion in one of the more anticipated home run derbies that I can remember in a while. And why not? You know, I'm not saying I'm the biggest home run derby guy, but I always watch it. And there have been some really fun ones. Some of the ones that I remember, of course, the Ken Griffey Jr. hitting with his hat backwards in the Camden Yards back in the 90s. I think it was back in 95 or 96 when it opened, a couple years after it opened. I remember, of course, Bonds put on a show. Sammy Sosa put on a mammoth show. The last one that was really the best one, I can remember, it would have to be Josh Hamilton, the former AL MVP. Where he hit 28, hit 28 at the Yankee Stadium in his final year, in the first round. He didn't win it, but he's remembered for that. That one's remembered for him. So it's not remembered for who won, or for what Josh Hamilton did. So that was a tremendous show. And, yeah, I really wonder. I mean, if you had the 10-out format, could Judge have gotten to 28? Could Bour have gotten to 25 or 26? You know, they do a 5-minute running time. And it's a little different now, though. So, hey. I'm not really sure about it, to be honest. But I will say that very interesting, obviously, a very interesting twist. Seeing the judge get in on the action and. And his first All-Star game derby, he wins it going away. So that's over with. You got the All-Star game tomorrow. It's not going to decide anything. I just think it's better that way, to be honest. I mean, a lot of people don't really care about the game. I mean, my thoughts on the game itself, I still like it a little bit. I want to see some of the matchups. I think it would be better if there wasn't an interleague. There is interleague, and because of that, I think it loses its luster. I think it lost its luster. Interleague takes a little bit out of it. And if you just did away with interleague, you'd have some of those matchups, and I think it would be more exciting, to be honest. So there is that. That's my thought process about this. Now, I'm not saying that it would ever be the same. There's so much more stuff now. Nobody really wants to stay inside and watch an All-Star game. People have internet, people have Twitter, people have live feed. They have so many things going on. Kids are just different these days. So, I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure how it plays out. I mean, I guess growing up for me, I mean, a couple of times where I was asleep at camp, I wanted to watch the All-Star game. I didn't see a lot of baseball when I was away at camp, so. So I guess it really all depends. It depends, what kind of fan are you? But, you have a couple of great starters, to start with. Chris Sale, gonna start for the second straight year, the AL, and you got Max Scherzer. He started for the AL once. Tigers, he's going to represent the Washington Nationals. So those are starting matchups. And most of the All-Stars, they did get right. They did a great job, and certainly terrific job in terms of there weren't really that many snubs, even if you had some complaints from the former Marlin that always cries about stuff. So, Logan Morrison. And that's certainly a lot of fun. But it really was about the Home Run Derby. Everybody really wanted to see what could be done. And we got to see it. We got to see a show from Aaron Judge. And I think the thing that I like about him is that he's very cool. He's very relaxed. His batting practice assets have been legendary already. And he's only in his first full season after a very tough beginning. So... But he just doesn't feel the pressure. I mean, a lot of guys would, but he doesn't. As I get in that chest press here, third set. And let's end this podcast. So this is the podcast edition, Hard Hits, Derek Felix for 15 and 20 minutes. And as I get in some upper body, work some upper body in my workout. And that's pretty much it. We could also talk some NBA. in terms of the NBA right now. I mean, it's not really a good time to be a Knicks fan at all. Not with how things have done. Yeah. They just don't know what they're doing. They don't have a clue what they're doing. The Knicks, they got rid of Phil Jackson, but they let him draft Frank, and I can't think of his name. The freshman, Frank Medalina. I can't really pronounce his name, Medalina. Now, I guess a lot of times you do want to have somebody draft your players. So they did. They passed on Dennis Smith Jr. He's been having a real good summer league for the Dallas Mavs. They took him right after the Knicks. And they passed on Malik Monk. Now, how's it all going to turn out? I don't know. I can't really say how it's going to turn out definitively. I don't think any fan can really say. That doesn't mean that, Malikina is not going to be a good pro. He might be a really good pro. We just don't know. I've seen video of him. He looks like he can really shoot. He's got a very smooth delivery. Great ball handler, but he got hurt, so he didn't get a chance to play in the summer league, and they had to hold him out. And, of course, that's very disappointing. If you're a Knicks fan, you wanted to at least see what the guy could do. Kind of like Porzingis a couple of years ago. So it was a little disappointing. But it is what it is. Now they decided to bring back Tim Hardaway Jr. And David Griffin dropped out because he didn't think he was going to have the final say. And this just goes to show you how screwed up it is with James Dolan when it comes to his basketball organization. Now it's Steve Mills who looks to be getting the upper hand, taking control. He signs off and signs Tim Hardaway Jr., a guy they traded away to the Bulls in a draft day deal. And they give him $71 million for 4 years. Now, I just don't get it. Who are they bidding against exactly? Hardaway Jr. had a real good second half and had a breakout year with the Hawks. But the Hawks are rebuilding. They weren't going to bring him back. He's 25. He's a nice role player. That's what he is. Yeah, maybe he could average 17, 18 points, but what the hell? Why would you give him 70? Why are you giving him over $17 million a year? I don't really know. I can't really say. So, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. So, but then again, a lot of things that the New York Knicks do don't make sense. So you have that going on. We also have a lot of Wimbledon. There was one big upset today. Nadal losing a classic five-set match to Gilles Bullet. Remember him? Guy from Luxembourg that beat Roddick all the way back in 2005 in a second-round matchup where beat Roddick in three straight tiebreaks. Well, guess what? Him and Nadal had split twice at Wimbledon before, and they had a classic matchup. Yeah, I flipped it on. Mueller had taken the first two sets. Nadal, but if Nadal, and I just had a feeling he'd find his way back in. Rafa's a fighter. He really is. He's coming off the Great French Open. He came off the Australian Open final where he had Federer down. He could have been going for a third major this year if they're having a couple of down years. But you have to give the lefty a lot of credit. The veteran, Mueller, 34 years old. He hit the flatter ground strokes. He dictated the rallies. He served really well. He saved a whole bunch of great points. Nadal was only 2-for-16 of the match. And Nadal did save, I think, four match points, but could not dig out of the last one and were able to win the match, a classic matchup, 15-13, I think, or was it 13-11? And you know, if you looked at the statistics for this match, it was stunning, really. Rafa Nadal only made 17 unforced errors in the entire match, a match that's, you know, 4.5 hours. In a five-set match, that's amazing. He had 77 letters and had 17 unforced errors the whole match. But Muller hit the bigger ball. Muller finished points at the net. Nadal did too. He just didn't take his chances. He had enough break point chances and opportunities in that fifth set and didn't make the most of them. And you have to give full credit to Muller. Full credit. It was a terrific match. A match that definitely won't be remembered for a while. So Nadal is out of the Open, and it's really too bad. It is unfortunate. So, but you got better season for the quarters, a rematch. But last year it was the semis against Raonic. They're having a rematch. Raonic were able to come back against Zverev. Zverev's going to win it. Is going to win it. Wimbledon. Just wasn't quite able to hold off Raonic. Raonic's able to come back 2-4 down. Takes the final 2 sets. He got some prime matchups. Just disappointing that Djokovic, he was supposed to play after Nadal on the same court, or court two. Now, I don't understand why Wimbledon, they didn't move the match. They should have moved it. They definitely should have moved it. Why not move it to center court? Well, the Federer match was open over 3 straight sets. They had about an hour. They could have shut the loop. They could have played it. Instead, because of this whole ticket thing, they decided to cancel. They decided to push it back for tomorrow. So Djokovic has to play tomorrow. He's not going to get a day of rest because obviously the men's quarters are going to be played. They'll be played on Wednesday. The women, of course, they're playing tomorrow, so they don't have an off day. So the women are back at it again tomorrow after Manic Monday. Venus Williams is through for the quarters. She does have a tough matchup on the quarters. So it won't be an easy matchup, for sure. You have some interesting matchups with Wimbledon. Andy Murray is through. Andy Murray's trying to defend his title. He's had a tough year, but he's still number one. Had a good French Open. Andy Murray did. You definitely have some interesting matchups. Sam Querrey, the American, left into the quarters after beating Tsonga in 5 sets. Great effort by Sam Querrey, who seems to have it going. He seems to have figured it out on that grass. And certainly tough. So, you have Andy Murray against Querrey. Murray will be the big favorite in that match. You got Federer against Raonic. I think most people think Federer is going to get the revenge. He's playing a lot better this year. He took the play court season off. You got Muller going against Cilic. How much will Muller have left against Cilic? They faced each other in a warm-up tune-up in the final, and Cilic got him in 3 sets. Best out of 2 out of 3. Cilic is big. He hits a bigger ball than Nadal. I have to think that Cilic, after 3 straight sets against Bautista, would be the favorite in that match. You've got Berdych, who was able to overcome Dominic Thiem in 5 sets. And Berdych is going to be waiting for Djokovic against Mannarino. You expect Djokovic to come through that. So we'll have to see how it goes. But those are your men's quarters potential. Nadal's not there, so that's not going to happen. Kuznetsova, the veteran, able to get to the quarters. She's done very well for herself, kind of rebuilt herself with the fitness. And Muguruza, remember the French Open champ from a year ago, able to deliver and defeat the number one player, who won't be the number one player anymore, Angelique Kerber. So Muguruza gets our first Wimbledon quarter, and she's going to be taking on Kuznetsova. I kind of think that Muguruza can win that match. She gets a good ball. If she doesn't get tight, I actually think she'll win. I'm thinking she'll win. So, and the winner of that will get Coco Vandeweghe, who took out Caroline Wozniacki. Vandeweghe will be taking on Rybakova, Novak, in her first quarter of any slam. Coco has the big serve. She's coached well, and I'm not really surprised that she's in the quarters. She's the one up-and-coming American that seems to be delivering on her promise. So I have to think that I wasn't surprised that she'd be Caroline. Caroline's a good player, a very good player, but she can be overpowered, and especially gets a real good server. And when you talk about serving, Coco certainly serves very well. So not really a surprise there. As we finish out some biceps and tries here in the Platinum Fitness right now. On the other side of the draw, you got Venus against Ostapenko Wolofian, who won her first career slam in Roland Garros. And I don't think that will be an easy match by any chance for Venus. My biggest question is, how will a 37-year-old Venus Williams come back? Back-to-back day, even though she had an easy time of it, you know, winning pretty fairly easy today. Ostapenko beat the fourth seed, so it should be a pretty interesting matchup. And you got Kont, and a really good matchup is Halep against Kont. Halep wins number one. If she doesn't win, then Pliskova, who got upset early in this Wimbledon, would become number one without winning a major. It is what it is when it comes to number one. But I like Konta in this matchup. It's going to have the crowd. I think it could be three sets. And I expect it to be fairly competitive. So that's what's going on with Wimbledon. So I pretty much have covered everything tonight. What's going to be interesting with the Yankees, they are tied for the wild card with the Rays after a tremendous first half, but they have lost, what, 18 out of their last 25 or 24, whatever they've lost. So, interesting how they bounced back. They got four games set at Fenway, including a doubleheader. And, look, they're going to have to pitch better. They're going to have to get better efforts. Hopefully the All-Star break helped Tantis, who struggled. It could help maybe their bullpen and help some of their starting pitchers. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens with that. But you have the second half coming in a few days, and it'll be pretty interesting to see how it goes. So that's where we're at, basically, in terms of baseball. Couple's tennis. There'll be more tennis tomorrow. Women's tennis. And Djokovic, of course, early at 7 o'clock. That's going to do it for this abbreviated edition of Hard Hits. Check out my future shows and some of my future podcasts, and we'll be talking to you later. This is Derek Felix in New York City, Staten Island area, and we'll hopefully be doing more of these and maybe getting some more participation. Have a great night, everybody. Enjoy your night.